You're listening to The Geek Parent, connecting modern parenting and today's nerdy generation.
Break it down one time.
And he's up there and he's in the zone.
We educate and entertain parents through board games, video games, tech discoveries, and STEM education. Inspiring a new generation starts now.
Welcome to the Geek Parent Radio. I am Kat Mahoney.
And I'm Josh Hostetler. We'll be with you for the next 45 minutes to discuss some of today's tech gadgets, education, discoveries, and parenting in the digital age.
And today on the Geek Parent Talk Show, we are going to discuss robotics, artificial intelligence, and digitally enhanced humans. So I want to thank some of you for joining us. Exactly. Actually, you know, Josh, this is a very popular topic, especially with the response we have received posting about the show on Twitter and Facebook and Google. We've actually had quite a few feedback and retweets as well as some favorites. So it really is a popular topic. And before we actually get into it, I just want to put a little bit of a warning. Yes, zombies are on the way. Yeah. it's a big tornado coming in here. First of all, I want to let our audience know that this is normally a very family-friendly show. And we are still very family friendly. We want we do want to discuss robotics and artificial intelligence, AI, and digital enhancements with the family. But there, this episode kind of goes a little above and beyond our normal rated G topics, and we have listed this under rated PG to rated R in the podcast episode. So It shouldn't be found by the kids who are seeking podcasts. But it is kind of going to discuss a little bit more than what we've normally discussed, only because there may be some things that you as a parent may find unsuitable for say your 7-year-old. Now, again, that's totally up to you as a parent. I'm just kind of giving you a heads up to our discussions. It's kind of like an ESRB rating for video games, but I don't know. I as a parent, some of those ESRB ratings, I look at the games and I play them myself and think, okay, that's okay for my child, and I'll go ahead and let my kid play those games. But again, I do want to put that out there that it is kind of borderline PG-13 rated R discussions later on. And I know this gets kind of sensitive for Josh's ears because he's such an innocent guy, and I'm not.
Yeah, we're going to go with that one. Well, you're not an innocent guy? I should hope not.
I'm not an innocent human. So I do kind of want to put that out there. That said, we are actually going to move into the future.
Distant future, the year 2000.
We are robots.
The world is very different ever since the robotic uprising of the mid-90s. There is no more unhappiness.
Affirmative.
We no longer say yes. Instead, we say affirmative.
Yes, affirmative.
And this is a more colloquial situation with a few robo-friends. There is only one kind of dance. The robots.
And the robo-boogie.
Oh, yes. Two kinds of dances.
Finally, robotic beings rule the world. The humans are dead. The humans are dead. We use poison as gases. And we poison their asses. The humans are dead.
Right, they are dead.
Humans are dead.
They look like they're dead.
It has to be done.
I'll just confirm that they're dead.
So if we could have fun.
Affirmative.
I poked one. It was dead.
Can't we just talk to the Kelvin? A little understanding could make things better. Can't we talk to the Kelvins that we're together now?
No, because they are dead.
Binary solo.
0000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000װ000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000װװ000װװ000װװװװװװװװ││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││
Okay.
The humans are dead.
Once again, without emotion,
the humans are dead.
And now we are back. Now, you know you were dancing to that song, weren't you, Josh? Secretly.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
With your MC Hammer pants, weren't you?
Oh, yes. I did find those.
That is so funny. Actually, you know, Josh, I'm not too keen on the idea of being dead because of robots in the future. That doesn't appeal to me too much. Though I do, you know, want to see robots. I would love to have one of my own. But I watched Battlestar Galactica, and I was quite fearful of how extremely intelligent and human these Cylons could be. I mean, did you watch that was my favorite show. I mean, to this day, that's one of my favorite shows ever. I just absolutely loved it. And the whole storyline behind it was absolutely wonderful. And if you have not seen we're not talking about the Battlestar Galactica in the 70s. We're talking about the...
Yeah, not that old 60s, 70s
right.
One. I'm talking about the new one.
Right. We're talking about the newest one, Battlestar Galactica. If you haven't seen it, I would highly recommend watching this show. It really is a good show. It had a great storyline to it, and it really kept me on the edge of my seat. Not too many shows do that for me today. And I'm very big on futuristic. But after watching that show and realizing how artificial intelligence and how good it could become as far as looking like eye candy. I mean, these girls were gorgeous. I mean, come on. That's perfection right there. And I think a lot of women who go and get that, you know, I don't know, the tummy tuck and the cheek lifts and heck, why not just get the whole body done and do an artificial intelligent robotic look? I mean, that's basically what they kind of were like. But I don't know, Josh, do you think that the CPU of an artificial intelligence could be cloned so closely to that of a human brain that it would actually be capable of expanding its thinking or logic on its own? I mean, literally?
Yes.
Really?
Yep.
Why do you think that?
Well, because, I mean, our brain is really just, it's a biocomputer. I mean, that's all it is. I mean, you got synapses, and it's really just a biocomputer. So you get to a point, and I don't think with today's technology it's going to get to that point, but with tomorrow's technology and, quantum entanglement and a lot of the newer style computing that people are theorizing, it could very easily get to that.
Right. And now, so you think... Say like you and I created this AI, and whatever we input into artificial intelligence is based off of our own intelligence. I mean, we obviously can't put more into it than we already know, right?
Right, but you can. You already have machines that can learn to a point, and just expand that further, and then they. You could program it from what you know, and then it all it has to do is go out and see the message that's on the internet, and then it's going to doom us all, and then we have, Terminator. So,
right. So basically, when we're talking about cloning ourselves in from artificial intelligence, robots, and so forth, if we were to put in, say, information that we already know into this artificial intelligence, but we voluntarily leave certain things out. For instance, look what the Cylons have done, okay, on Battlestar Galactica. They've evolved themselves because of the way humans kind of push them to the side later on, earlier on. But if we voluntarily left some information out so that we knew that the artificial intelligence could become smarter than us and try to take us over, you think that it would change? That they would find a way?
I think you can't voluntarily leave information out. You have to consciously edit that information. You can't necessarily go the route of just leaving something out, because if you're creating a machine to learn, then it's going to learn, and it's going to learn it one way or another. And today I can search anything I want to from, a little device in my pocket. If you create a machine that's able to connect to that and it's connected to the Internet of Things constantly, then you can't necessarily not teach it something. You have to almost edit it so it can't find that.
And in which case, it's probably going to end up finding out anyways. For instance, Hale. Remember that? Hal or Hale? I don't. Some people say Hal.
Hal.
Hal. Yeah, Hal. It literally shut itself down. War Games, for instance. That's another good one.
Yeah.
What's his name? Matthew Broderick. Remember that one? It was so, you program these things to do this, but it becomes a little bit smarter over time because it's playing the checks and balances game with itself, and then it starts testing us as humans. I kind of have to agree there, and that's kind of scary if you think about it.
It could be. You can't go into artificial intelligence, robotics and artificial intelligence all willy-nilly and just, there has to be some precautions that we take in some things that we have to teach them. I watch a show actually now, and I forgot the Person of Interest. And it's about this guy that's created an AI. Now, it doesn't have a body or anything. It's just this AI that has access to basically all the video cameras and telephones and everything. It has pretty much access to everything in New York City. But he taught it compassion. And so that's actually in the value of human life. And I think that's really the route that we have to take, is we have to be able to teach these robots and instill in them and AI, the value of human life. So I think that it just you have to be careful. Otherwise, we're going to have, a Terminator.
Right. And that I think is where, let's say, science, and we're kind of getting a little bit even more deep thinking here with science and religion kind of butt heads. Valuing human life is above all things. That's the one thing that has to be interpreted into AI if we're going to kind of find a balance between, science and religion and so forth. But I think that's one of the things where a lot of people fear with artificial intelligence and robots is that, are they going to become smarter than me? And if they do, are they going to take us over, or are they going to hurt me or my family? For instance, the Jetsons. You have Rosie. Rosie was wonderful. I would love to have Rosie. That was amazing. What woman wouldn't want to have a Rosie that cleaned her house for her and you know, did all that wonderful stuff? But if Rosie
that's not,
went
yeah,
off
that's
the
not
deep
the
end.
Show, the robot that I was wanting, but.
Come on, Rosie was sexy in that outfit.
Oh, yeah.
Robots come in all shapes and sizes, Josh. I don't think of any woman wouldn't want to have that, you know, a robot to help clean around the house and so forth. But it can get kind of, like you said, you know, we need to teach them compassion and understanding. And I think that's where artificial intelligence, I don't think we're that at that point yet. I just, you know, I think, yeah, we can teach our computers to respond to us and so forth, but I don't think we're at that point yet where we can actually teach them compassion. I think that's what kind of divides us as humans and robots. Am I correct?
Yeah. Compassion.
Right.
I think the other side of the robotics is you're also thinking of it as a strict. There's going to be robotics, and then there's going to be humans as just straight biology. And you're not taking into account that between now and then, you're also going to have this rise of cyborgs, basically, where you're going to have where we take in a lot of hardware or wetware at that point in time. So we're, you know,
right.
a little bit, you know, like we're like Borgs, but hopefully I look a little bit better than Borg.
right.
And so you kind of have, it's going to be a catch-up game to where we're going to create some artificial intelligence or robotics, and then they're going to be able to do stuff, and then we're going to take some pieces of that, and we're going to also be incorporating it into us so that we can have better memory or access to the internet by just, you know, blinking your eye or, you know,
right.
thinking it. Or heck, I'd love to have me some, like, bionic arms or maybe some bionic legs. That way I was a little bit taller. I don't know.
So this moving to the next topic, I guess I would ask you, you wouldn't mind being like RoboCop?
I don't know about RoboCop, but yes, kind of like RoboCop.
So, and so, you know, like I said, I think, you know, I'm a little bit iffy about I mean, I love robots. I think it's wonderful, but I'm not as intelligent as that. That, and I, you know, if my son's a little smarter than me sometimes, I'm afraid what a robot would be. But the way our scientists and the way technology are intertwining themselves together, we actually are kind of on the verge of that fountain of youth that many of us are seeking. In fact, Olaf Swanty's article, The Internet of Humans, Are We About to Get a Sci-Fi Makeover? Now, Swanty, and now I think he's German or Swedish, but so I'm probably not saying his last name right, but he explains that within the next decade, we may find ourselves digitally connected in ways we could only a dream about. And so that would basically be, imagine a digitally enhanced version of yourself. I mean, being connected to things like your home heating devices to detect your body temperature and then automatically adjusting the temperature of the room for you. All these brilliant innovations are already being discovered in development. For instance, Microsoft. They've applied for a patent to transfer data introducing the contact lens for diabetics that would measure glucose levels in tears instead of pricking their finger for blood. Yeah, that's amazing. These are just wonderful things. I mean, from a medical, scientific, technological standpoint, these discoveries are magnificent, and they provide hope to many people. Now, my brother-in-law, he had passed away a couple years ago, and he was quadriplegic from the neck down. he actually had roomed right next door to Christopher Reeve because it happened right at the same time. He was 16, and he was wrestling around with a friend, and his friend slipped. We lifted him up, and he slipped with him in his over his shoulder, and he landed the wrong way. And for 17 years of his life, he could not move. He was in a wheelchair bound. And it was very difficult. We didn't have the technology or even the funds at the time, you know, with the way technology is just the way certain things are just being discovered right now. It's very expensive. So he was limited to certain things. And from what we're discussing as far as robotics, artificial intelligence, digital enhancements, if we had those things like RoboCop, for instance, he could be walking. You know,
yeah.
He could have
yep.
still been alive today. And as we become more advanced, we could give people like him a chance for recovery, or at least live a fulfilling life in other ways, you know, but in a natural aspect, of course.
Yeah. Because they already have
really
some of
living?
It kind of somewhat in some way, because they have the exo
right.
legs and exosuits that are, you know, just in the beginning stages of development, but...
Exactly, and I think those are wonderful things. Now, if we take it to the point where RoboCop, for instance, during the scene. Now, if you haven't seen RoboCop, I'm really sorry, spoiler here. Okay, you can turn me down. When he asks to see himself, and they take apart his body, would that freak you out? Would that really freak you out, Josh?
Are you talking about the new one or the old one?
The new one.
Because I haven't watched the new one. I haven't watched the new one.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you haven't watched the new one.
No, I've watched the old one, of course, but no, I haven't. I don't know. I kind of got mixed feelings, I guess. I like the old one, so it wasn't.
No, that's okay.
Well,
in the new one, you know, they kind of take him apart. He wants to see how he is, so they kind of take him apart so he can see himself. And it's not, it's just like, you know, like just his face and his brain. And, you know, he kind of, just looking at that, I think that scene just, I just felt something just crawling up my spine because I was like, I don't know how I could deal with that. You know, like I would have to have, like, for instance, we talked about how Olaf Swanty says that you right now they're digitally connecting people in ways where you can come complete with microsensors. Now, if that were to happen and you were RoboCop and you had all those sensors, does that include touching and feeling, you know, kissing, things like that? Because everything like that makes us human is probably what I would miss.
Yeah.
That would probably be the main thing of why I wouldn't want to be robotic. But I'm such a futuristic lover, meaning I would probably do anything to be able to live to see the year 4000. You know what I mean? Like, I would love to see us discover another planet or discover alien life forms or anything like that. So if it meant doing that, do you think you would do it?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
You were just like,
yes.
Sign me up.
No, I've said for years, you know, if sign me up. If there's
That's
something,
right.
you know, like where you can like plug this needle into my neck and I'm, you know, taken into the Matrix. Hey, sign me up. I'm all
right
there.
Right.
You know,
right.
Take me
exactly.
and leave my brain and my dashingly good looks. and just strap on a retractable or something, you know, a little rocket pack. I'm good. That's a good trade off.
Oh gosh. I think I think I wouldn't have to actually think about it in order to get to do that. I think I go too deep into it because there's more emotional parts of me than there are, you know, curiosity of the future. But it's setting the human part of ourselves aside. If we were to do stuff like this, what can we expect from hackers? I mean, who are utilizing the current technology to invade our privacy as it is? I don't think I'd want to risk allowing a hacker to inject me with a virus and control parts of me. And wouldn't that be – that'd be devastating.
You get viruses by walking down the street, though. You get flus and viruses. It's just a different type of virus, so there's a new type of inoculation.
Right. So you would say if we were to enhance ourselves robotically, we would also have to make sure we had antivirus parts or parts that could immediately clean ourselves of that.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, you remember that, Josh, when you are part robot and I'm controlling you. You're walking down the street wondering all the things I would do to you, Josh. That was...
I would not look good in a Baroness outfit. I'm just going to tell you that.
Oh, that would be funny. You know, I want to let our viewers know, or listeners know, that this is actually the part where it's more of a PG-13 rated R section. So, because some of this discussion may get a little bit intense here. But there is this new movie coming out. So I'm warning you now, all right? There's this new movie coming out that's actually, I think it's already released, but it's called The Machina or Mechina or something. Have you seen it?
It's
the commercial for it?
Ex Machina. Yeah, it's Ex
Machina. That's it. Okay. So it's about, you know what it's about then, Josh, right?
Vaguely.
Right. It kind of, it doesn't give a full account of what it is, but it from my understanding, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, it's about this guy who creates an artificial intelligent female robot, okay? And she looks just like a human female. I mean, you know, like Trisha Helfer,
yep.
Who, you know, who plays Cylon
number
six. Oh, hot woman, okay? And he hires this intern to come in, or he hires this guy or whoever he is. I forgot what he does. But he comes in to help him in this lab, quote, lab, with the research. But I guess the real objective is kind of testing the guy's emotions. Am I on the right path here, Josh?
I believe so, yeah.
He kind of gets close. This guy gets close to this AI, and the guy that made her is kind of watching how they interact with each other. You know, he'll ask him, how do you feel about her? You know, what are your emotions with her? And so forth. And he tests her in certain ways. So basically, can you fall in love with an AI? And most importantly, can we be intimate with an AI? Now, like I said, this is the rated R PG-13 portion, and you know, you're forewarned. Could we and would you have a sexual relationship with an AI? And think hard now. No, okay, no pun intended there about this, because this.
Well, hey, according to the movie Cherry 5000, we can. So.
Well, thinking of it now, there are certain, shall we say, adult things now that are already considered among those sexually intimate robotic objects that people use. So, interestingly enough, are they the same thing? I mean, is it really any difference in this current sexual state of pleasure that people have than the one with a full-fledged AI skin and everything, like this movie that's coming out? I mean, is it possible when we're talking about cloning or creating artificial intelligence, do you think it's possible to fall in love with that?
Yeah, probably. I mean, people love other,
you know,
inanimate objects, so.
That is true, and not on a sexual type fantasy. People are in love with you're right, inanimate objects, passionate way. You know, emotionally attached.
I mean, you think about it. You have this person who's sitting there and talking to you and listening, and you're conversing, and you're talking about your day, and you're both in there, and you're developing a emotional bond with this person, and it doesn't matter necessarily that the person is. You're a biological entity and they're a mechanical entity, but it feels like you're talking to somebody else. I mean, really, that's falling in love is being able to talk to somebody and you falling in love. I don't think is just necessarily a human a trait. It is. There's a lot of different things that go into it. I mean, I know that it is a strictly biological, reactions and but you're able to talk to somebody and share your wishes, your dreams, the things that you want to do in your day. So I think that it could happen.
Right.
It's a very easy step to make.
I have to agree with you. I think it is too, because I think humans crave that attention, and our whole goal when we find love is to find somebody who shares the same interests and who shows interest in us.
I wouldn't want to play video games with you, though.
That wouldn't really work out. Being a very bad competitor there. That's a good point. I have to agree with you, Josh. I think the only problem that we might have is, would they really fall in love with us? Because they're not that way. Are they literally for us? Some people cheat on their spouses or their, and I'm not saying that this is just a wide spectrum of discussion here. Some people cheat on each other and some people, end up getting divorces and some people stay together for a long time and some people are, have different lovers and so humans are all different when it comes to love and emotions and wanting to find that connection. Robots, the only difference would be the emotional aspect of that. Do we program them to only love us or to only stay with us? And if we didn't program them that way, would they go and have a sexual relationship with other humans as well? And that's something that a lot of us can think on. I think that's a really deep thoughts for those when you're discussing artificial intelligence and robotics and digital human enhancements. I think those were all great thoughts to end here on so that we can let Josh move us on to App of the Week.
All righty, and this week's App of the Week, we're going to break away from robotics a little bit and get into an app that, unfortunately, I have not been able to put down for about 2 weeks now. My daughter, she first mentioned something about it, and then I kept saying it on my Facebook feed, and then I picked it up and haven't been able to put it down. It is called SimCity Build It. It is by EA Games. It is just like the SimCity you used to love, except it's today and pretty and shiny and all those fun things. It's you can pinch and hold. It's for Android and iOS devices. So mobile or iPads, phones or tablets, and you build up your city. I don't believe many people need to know what you do in SimCity because it's a pretty old game. It's been around there for a while, but you build up your city. You have to keep your Sims happy. You can spin around. You make goods in order to make other things, and you have to upgrade. This is what seems endlessly roads and sewer systems and hospitals, and you even have to have a police department for some reason. I don't know why, but it's a pretty fun little game.
You know, and I've loved the SimCity franchises over the years, playing them on PC and now being able to play them on the mobile apps is a great way to kind of learn what it's like to run a city. I mean, it takes quite a bit, and people are greedy people. They want.
They're finicky. They're finicky. I love the mayor.
Really
I hate
are.
The mayor. I love the mayor. I hate the mayor. I mean, come on, geez.
Exactly. And I like this game too. I have to agree with you, and I think it is a great game. And I'm so glad that it's on Apple, iTunes. You can get it from iTunes or from Google Play as well. And I think it's not multiplayer, right? You can't like some of the other cities that they had. It's not multiplayer, right?
No, it's not multiplayer.
Okay, yeah, but I like this game. I think you said you and your daughter play this game?
Yes, yep. Although she didn't know I started playing until this morning, so, but yes, we both play it.
Hiding things from your daughter. Wonderful.
Yep.
I like it. It's Sim. What is it again? SimCity Build It. Where can they find it?
SimCity Build It. It is at it's www.ea.com and then /SimCity-Build It/. And we'll have the address on the website. And then you can call up there. In this week's Tech of the Week, this is a fun little tech. Going off of the robotics theme, this is a little robot called Codie. C-O-D-I-E. And the website to see this is getcodie.com. So that's GETCODIE.com. And it's a little robot who has little caterpillar. And when I say caterpillar, I don't mean the furry kind. I mean the little tracks, the little caterpillar tracks. And it's got a bunch of sensors, and it's got these cute little eyes that they're not really eyes, they're photosensors. You control it and you program it with a little app on your phone. And it's a real simple little programming scheme. They've taken all the complex code and they've made it into these little real easy boxes that you can drop on top of each other and do all these things. It's geared towards kids, but let's be honest, if you're an adult and you get it for your child, you're going to play with it half the time anyway. So,
me too.
But it teaches kids, teaches kids how to code, and they are on Indiegogo right now trying to get the rest of the funds. How many days do they have left? 15 days. So, and they're almost there. So we will actually be doing an article on this, on Codie, should be coming up, probably in the next day or two. Very cool little device, very cool little robot to get your kids into robotics and to teach them how to code at the same time. And the most important thing is to have fun while they're learning. And that's the best way for the kids to really learn is to, if they don't know it's learning. You know, if they don't know they're learning something, hey, perfect.
Exactly. And this thing is cute. I love the way they made him look. I mean, it's really, it's a simple type of cute. It's nothing, you know, big or extravagant. You can toss them into your backpack or whatever, take them wherever you want, and, you know, take them out to the park and let them run around there. But I love the idea. This is a really cute thing, and the robot. I think it's so cute that they named him Codie, too. That's just that's really creative. And he's supposedly a toy, but I'll tell you what, there's lots of things I would program him to do. Like he needs to start learning how to pick up a mop, because if he's going to be running around my floor.
I'm sure you could get one of those little dust mops to pull behind him.
That'd be awesome. But I like it. It like Josh said, it's at getcody.com. And I look, actually, I'm very excited to see the article that you're going to be doing for us on Cody, Josh, in the next couple of days. That's awesome. And just before we end here, I just wanted to, let's see, we have about 3 minutes left. Oh, boy. A game that you guys might want to try, and I would suggest maybe even trying it with your kids too, The Sims 3 Into the Future, since we're talking about robotics and artificial intelligence and so forth. Into the Future allows your sim to create your own robots, and you have to actually develop the central processing units and the intelligence chips for each robot as well. So if you're into those type of games, The Sims 3 Into the Future is PC only, unlike the SimCity Build It, which is on mobile. The SimCity 3 Into the Future is an expansion to The SimCity, SimCity. Yes,
yep.
To The Sims 3. Again, SimCity and The Sims 3 are two separate games. They The Sims came off of what SimCity used to be. More in depth to the people, right? To the people than it is the city itself. So if you're into that, check out The Sims 3 Into the Future, and then see if you can't create your own little robotic person from there, and then maybe let us know what you think of that, as well as SimCity Build It and Cody, and then leave your comments and questions about some of our thoughts we left you with about artificial intelligence and digital human enhancement. And you can find all that at www.thegeekparent.com. This episode, this was a very fun discussion tonight, Josh. There's so much more we can talk about. 45 minutes, I don't think, is enough. But I think this kind of leaves it open to maybe having another, artificial intelligence and robotics discussion later on down the road. And maybe we can bring the developers of Cody on to discuss some of the robotics after you get, talking with them for a little bit.
Yeah, possibly.
Well, that's it from the Geek Parent Radio Talk Radio. Thank you for allowing us into your homes or your office this evening. And links, photos, and more information on anything we discussed tonight can be found from our website at thegeekparent.com.
You can also keep updated with our discussions, upcoming guests, and future topics on Facebook, Twitter, and Google. Just visit our website and click the social media links.
Enjoy the rest of your week, and we look forward to talking to you again right here every Thursday evening, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Until then, I'm Kat Mahoney.
And I'm Josh Hostetler, saying see you next week. Same geek time, same Cylon channel.